Welcome to Church of Our Savior. And so good to see all of you back for an exciting new year. These are exciting times indeed. And here we are at the very first weekend of 2018, preparing ourselves to do the work of the Lord in this new year and this new season. It's a new season, not just because 2017 is already behind us, but because there's a sense in which we are living in a time of unique opportunity and destiny for our community, for this church, for every one of us here. I have no doubt that many of you are already beginning to make plans for how you will live out this year, right? Many of you are already making plans concerning your ambitions, your careers. Maybe some of you are setting life goals. Some of you are already thinking about holiday, right? Which are the public holiday can line up? I know you're thinking about that. Some of you are making plans for your home. Maybe you're upgrading your house, your family, your children going to school, and so on and so forth. People the world over, this very week, are filling up their to-do list with all the things that they hope to achieve this year. But how should a follower of Jesus, a true follower of Jesus, how should we begin the year? I want to suggest to you three ways we can begin the year as followers of Yeshua, okay, as followers of Jesus. That we should not simply jump onto the train that everyone else is going on, but we should be on a different train. We are marching to a different drumbeat. The first thing that we should begin, someone used to say this, begin with the end in mind, right? Everyone say, begin with the end in mind, right? We are beginning something, we need to know where we are going before we start it out. So, if you care to look around in the world today, you will no doubt realize that Christianity is no longer in its ascendancy. It is no longer becoming more and more popular. Did you notice that? That Christians everywhere are being oppressed, persecuted, they are under pressure, they are coming under attack in every nation of the world. It doesn't matter whether it's the West or the East, you know, from China all the way to the United States, Christianity is coming under pressure. And as we look in all these different spheres, you notice that there's a gathering of forces opposing believers and mounting those attacks every single day. These are the signs of the times that we are being warned of in the Bible, that traditional bastions of truth have now beginning to crumble at its very foundations. In other words, the end actually looks like a time of testing, a time of tribulation, and a time of opposition in the foremost. This is a very sobering thought for us. You know, I mean, I know this is the beginning of year and we are all celebrating and we're all partying, but it's very good for us to bear in mind that the end is going to be a difficult time, right? The prosperity of past decades has lulled many Christians into a sense of complacency, a sense of drunken slumber. And we let our guard down because we forget that the end is actually going to be like that, right? We think that things will just get better and better. Actually, things will get worse before it gets better. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 12 tells us that, you know, the last days will be like the Lord threshing the harvest. So, you know, when harvest comes, they'll gather up the harvest, right? They didn't have combines in those days, those machines. They'll gather it, and then they'll go into a place where they thresh it, they whack the thing, huh? And as they do it, what happens is that the chaff and all this light stuff that don't belong, the wheat, it'll all fly out in the wind. But the grain will fall to the ground. It is a time of great shaking. And the Bible says God will pick up the grain one by one from the ground. In Isaiah chapter 27, verse 12. A very very heartening verse that God is keeping an eye on every single one of His grains, right? That is you, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, God is keeping an eye on you. So even though the end is a time of great testing and a great trial, it is this very testing and trial that will separate the grain from the chaff. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Very important. Now, many people, they don't want the testing, but it is only because of the testing that you know the real from the false. Because until it's tested, it looks the same. Right? So today, when God is looking at the church here, you know, God has in mind, soon it will be a time for the testing. Soon it will be a time for the threshing. Right? So that we want to be faithful. A time of great shaking. But we are not quite there yet. And everyone heave a sigh of relief. Thank God, right? We are not quite at that point yet, but the signs of the world around can tell us that we are fast approaching that time. I mean, that time is coming very fast. For some countries, it is already there. The testing is already upon them, right? The end days are already. But for us, we are very fortunate. It's not quite upon us yet. So we heave a sigh of relief. But since you are beginning with the end in mind, then we know that we are now living in a time of unique opportunity, a very special window of grace in which God has given for the church to become strong, to become prepared for whatever lies ahead. Are you following me? Very serious note, but this is in fact a very serious thing. You know, we were in Jerusalem, actually we were in Israel, when Trump announced this whole business about the recognizing Jerusalem as the capital, right? And I was thinking, wow, what a privilege, because we have front row seats to what is about to happen in the world. I thought, if Jesus comes back today, good timing. You know, this trip is like triple is worth, maybe 1,000 times is worth, because you get to see Jesus come back. But you know what? We are, in fact, living in very special, very unique timing. I don't want you to forget this. As we begin the year, this is not any ordinary time. Ordinary time, you live ordinary lives. Extraordinary time calls for us to live extraordinary lives. Amen? So that is why your life this year is very important. It cannot be just business as usual, because in God's eternal clock and calendar, right, it is not business as usual. It is a special time, and the people of God need to rise up to this special occasion. And that's why I'm so glad that today you're here and you're not somewhere partying, right? Because we are the people of God. We are gathered for a very special time. Amen? So this is why I mean that we must begin by looking at the end in mind. And you know, in the Bible, there was this story about Pharaoh having a dream in Genesis chapter 41. So he has this dream. It's a very strange dream. In this dream, there were seven fat cows, right? And then there were seven lean cows. And the lean cows came and ate up the fat cows, okay? So that's sort of like how the dream went. And so the interpretation was given that the seven fat cows represents seven good years to be followed by seven bad years. And the meaning of this dream is not just to reveal what will happen, but it's to give Pharaoh the chance to get ready. So Joseph gave this advice. Now we are in the time of grace, a time of plenty. Get ready. Be strong. Prepare yourself so that when tough time comes, we will be able to stand. This is what we are. We are in the seven fat cows years. Okay? Look at your neighbor. Look like fat. No. Okay, never mind. Forget that. Forget that. You know, sometimes I just say things without thinking. All right. So we are living in the years of the seven fat years, years of plenty, right? And we need to make preparation. You know, on Christmas, I mentioned that I got an ant problem at home. You remember that? Right? I got ants at home, right? But you know, watching ants can teach you a lot of things. Because in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25, it says, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in summer, so that when winter comes, right, they are ready, being prepared." So today, the first point is this, right? Because we are beginning with the end in mind, we must get ready. Everyone say, get ready. We got to wake up from slumber. We cannot be sleeping anymore. Some of you are like volcanoes, you know, dormant volcanoes, right? Got fire underneath but never explode for a very long time. Guys, no time to be dormant anymore, right? You got volcano, this is a time to explode. This is a time to wake up from our slumber, right? So turn to your other neighbor and say, wake up. Okay, in case they're sleeping loud. Okay, all right? So, the first thing is we have to be ready. Second, you have to seize opportunities. Opportunities are coming our way. You know, in John chapter 9, verse 4, we are told that Jesus had a very acute mind for opportunities. In fact, he says this, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day." The night is coming when no one can work. Again, this whole idea, we have an opportunity now. Today, you are alive. God has put you wherever you are in your station of life right now. And you're not just existing. You're not just killing time. You're not waiting to clock out. God has put you there because there are opportunities that you must seize, right? So the first one, be ready. Second one, seize the opportunities that God is giving you. Don't waste, don't squander the opportunities, okay? That's the first thing. So there's work to be done in this season. As we look at this year that's already beginning, right? And as we look at that, we realize that this year, with all these opportunities, there are many challenges along with the opportunities, there are obstacles. You know, when you want to go in the promised, you know, the children of Israel, right? They were wandering around in the wilderness, correct? And as long as they're wandering around in the wilderness, there's no fighting to do. But the very moment they wanted to go in the promised land, guess what? You have to fight, right? Because you're not going to go in the promised land and let the Canaanites see all this, right? Oh, come in, take my house, yeah. Take my money also, take, yeah, just take, right? And then they go up to the city of Ai, oh, just come in, don't need to march around, so tired, hot outside, just come in. You know what? The world is not going to give that to you, right? If you want the promises of God, you got to be prepared to take it. Amen? You got to be like Caleb, give me this mountain. Are you ready? Ready or not? Because you know what? The Israelites were not ready, you know. They say, I must fight one. I don't want ready. I go back to Egypt, right? So some of us Christians are like that because we are so timid, you know. You cannot be timid. You must drink a bit more Red Bull, okay? Be a bit more, you know, courageous, like a lion. Don't be like a pussycat. Okay, got it? Because our Lord is a lion, okay? So, very important this year, right? You have opportunities. We must be prepared to overcome challenges. Challenges, by its very nature, are unpleasant. They are difficult. They are, you know, they are adversities to us. But we must be stronger than our challenges. You got to be stronger this year than you ever were, all right? You must be ready to confront and to overcome. So, you're going to be an overcomer this year, right? It'll be an amazing time of seeing God's work, but it's also going to be a time of hard work for all of us. But it's going to be a very good time. So, that's the first point. Second point, we have to begin with God in mind. Okay? Everyone say, begin with God in mind. Okay? First, we want to begin with end in mind. We've got to know where we're going with this whole thing. But secondly, you got to begin with God in mind. As we begin this year, I tell you, the temptation is so great to begin everything with ourselves in mind. Okay? We can begin by evaluating, well, what do I need this year? What would I like to do this year? What do I want to achieve this year, you know? What are the things that I want to improve for myself this year? It is very tempting for all of us, very easy to fall into that place where before you think about anything, you already start to plan everything with us in mind. Now, I understand we all cannot completely escape from that, but today, I want to encourage you to put that self aside and to begin with God in mind. Because a true follower of Jesus, right, will not always be focused on his own will. Because Jesus says, not my will, but yours be done. God's will be done. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you will do the same thing. If you are a follower of yourself, then different story, right? Are you a follower of Jesus? Then you will do what Jesus did, right? You will begin with God's will in mind. The choice of these two perspectives, either you want to begin with your own will. See, you begin with your own will, you think, wow, this thing not happy, that thing not happy, you know, I want this, I don't want that. These are all the things that me, right? But you begin with God's will, me becomes very small. There are still issues there. You recognize that all of us have needs. That's true. But you are thinking, but what is God doing through all these things? And this is very important. It is what separates a carnal man from a godly person, right? You can be carnal man or woman, right? You can be carnal, you can be fleshly, or you can be godly. And I think we all want to be godly this year. We want to grow in our godliness this year, which means that we learn to crucify ourselves. We could learn to put to death that flesh that will rear its head and say, wow, pity yourself a bit. And then after a while, you start to throw your own pity party. You go to the corner, right? You get a few sad people together. So sad. My life is so difficult. You know, they'll cry. Yeah, you have a bit of Rabina, you know, we cry together, right? And I don't know why I think of Rabina. But anyway, you know, maybe we got communion afterwards, right? So a lot of times we start to focus on ourselves. I'm asking you, focus on what God is doing and what God wants to do through your life. Because you know what? God has a plan. He has thoughts that He wants you to be in. Okay? So I'll talk about that in a second. But this is something very important. To choose God's will over our will. Right? Don't be a carnal Christian. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be carnal. Okay? So the carnality doesn't mean that you'll be perfect. But sometimes we just don't want to let go. You see? You know what is God's will. But, ask me to let go of my favorite this lah, my this interest. We are unwilling to let go. You don't want to let go of those things, right? You know that God is saying this, but I don't know if I can really trust God or not. If I let go then I don't get back, then how? You know, it's that kind of mindset. That is a carnal mindset, right? Not carnal mindset, although it can lead to carnal, right? it can lead to us being very fleshly in our thinking. But if we are not disciplined, if we are not godly in our mindset, what will happen is that when the end comes and the threshing begins and the shaking begins, you get swept away with all the chaff. And you don't want that. So, let us fix our focus. Fix our focus on the author and the perfecter of our faith. Don't let it shake. Things around you can shake, but you keep your target on, okay, on the mark. No matter what people say, no matter what happens, in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8, this young man, Daniel, was deported to another country, Babylon, far away. And the first thing it says in the book, it says, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. That is to say, this young man, before anything begin in the rest of the book, he already set his sights, his target on God. I say, you know what? No matter what happens, whether I'm happy, I'm unhappy, whether things come in my favor or things fall out of favor for me, whether things are good or they are not good, no matter what happens, I have purpose in my heart. Today, when you want to begin with God in mind, you want to purpose in your heart. You want to tell yourself, okay, this year, nothing is going to shake me from my focus on God. Nothing. Not family, not work, not friends, not circumstances, not the economy. Nothing will shake you from your focus from God. Amen? Can you say that? Because this is very important, right? We are beginning this year. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 is a super popular verse at the beginning of year. You look at Google. In the beginning of year, everyone Googled this verse. You know what's that verse or not? I know the plans that I have for you, right? Yeah, everyone, yeah, plan to prosper. That special word, I like to prosper, right? But listen, this word plan is actually a very bad translation, right? The better translation is actually, I know the thoughts that I have for you. God has thoughts for you. A thought and a plan is very different, right? I can think that I want to have lunch, but a plan is, okay, we're going to book lunch at this time and then we're going to go there, we'll meet here first. That's a plan, okay? And God has a thought for us. God desires us. But you know, you got to come up with a plan. You actually have to lay out those plans and God will direct those plans, all right? So it's very important at the beginning of the year when you start to think about what does God want, okay? You think about those thoughts that God has for us. You plan according to God's will as you understand it, right? Now, of course, whenever we want to do this, the human part of us will, again, want to rebel, see? That's the nature of our sin, right? We want to rebel. Now, when we were in Israel, one of the places we went to was the Pool of Bethesda, right? Now, some of you may remember in the Bible, in John chapter 5, verse 8, there was this pool, which is very interesting. Apparently, there's a legend, okay? Let's call it that, a legend. We don't think that it's true, but there was a legend that in this pool, right, whenever the water will move, and the first person who get into the water will get healed from their disease, right? So because of this legend, it's not a biblical thing, right? It's one of the Greek legends. So there were a lot of sick people who were gathered around this pool. So we were actually there, you know, right? We were actually at the pool, but no more water, okay? So they were gathered there, maybe because too many people go in and out, all the water gone, right? They were gathered. But and can you just imagine? There's this pool, right? The pool is quite large. And can you just imagine? All these sick people gathered around the pool. At the moment, maybe a leaf drop into the pool. Boom, the water move. Can you just imagine the picture? Everyone all jump straight. That's why no more water. Everyone jump in the pool at the same time. There was one fellow there. 38 years he has been there. Lame, right? Cannot move. Every time the water move, he want to jump in. Too late. Because everyone else who can move has already moved in the water, right? Jesus comes to this man, sees him at the pool, sees his state, and he's complaining to Jesus. Who can help me? Every time I get in, other people get in before me. Now, in John chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus actually commands this person to do something. Okay, the verse is here. It says, get up, pick up your pallet, that's your mat, pick up your mat and walk. I want you to think for yourself for a second. This guy has been there for how long? 38 years, lame. 38, that's a long time. That's more than, that's about some of us longer than some of our lives, right? He's been there for a very long time. He's already used to not being able to move. He knows. I'm sure in the course of 30 years, he has tried to move. Then Jesus says, get up and walk. You know, I think this guy, he could have said a lot of things. He could say, hey, Jesus, I don't think you understand my condition, right? Can't you see? I can't walk. If I can walk, I can jump in the water already. The problem is I cannot walk. See, Jesus, don't you understand my problem? Don't you understand that I have this limitation? I can't do it. Jesus says, get up and walk. You know, sometimes our flesh, we begin with ourselves. We see what we cannot do. We tell God, God, I can't do it. Don't you understand? You know, I don't have enough for myself already. I don't have time. I don't have this. I don't have skills. I don't have gifting. Oh, God, you don't think I'm not good enough. You are thinking all these things, right? But what is Jesus saying? Get up and walk. Now, my question to you is, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? I mean, like, kind of goes without saying, isn't it? But to listen to Jesus is such a huge step of faith. That's the opposite of unbelief, right? Unbelief on the one hand. So the flesh leads you to unbelief, but faith leads you to believing in God. So this man, amazingly, I don't know what went through his mind, but somehow faith was triggered in his heart, okay? Maybe he heard about something that Jesus had done. And he says, you know, if Jesus can do that for other people, Jesus can do it for me, right? This is not about other. Then he says, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I am going to believe that. And he gets up and he walks. Now, this is the thing that at the beginning of year, the Bible is clear in telling us what God wants us to do. We are supposed to be victorious. We are going to be his witnesses in these very dark times, right? But you know what? Our flesh says, but cannot lie. You know, I'm very busy, right? No, I really got no time. I got all these commitments. And all. Listen, you have to decide who you want to listen to. You want to listen to yourself and your fears and your disabilities and everything that tell you you cannot, or you want to listen to God. Very easy. Easy to say, lah. Not so easy to do. But very important. This is what I mean. Begin with God in mind. Say yes to Jesus. Amen? When Jesus says, get up and walk, you don't say, yes, but. My lecturer, my counseling lecturer told me, you know, counseling, I say, when people tell you, you know, you're counseling people, they tell you, yes, but, everything before the but is a lie. Right? Yes, I will come to church, but actually, everything before that you can discount already. It's what after the but, but I'm very busy, actually they won't come. Everything before the but is a lie. Okay, when you say yes to God, yes, period. Don't say, yes, Lord, I will serve you, but, okay, don't, you hit the butt, stop. Okay, take out your knife and chop. You know, you don't want the stuff that comes after the butt. That's the flesh trying to finagle its way into God's plan for your life. And that's why year after year, we are walking in defeat. That's why year after year, we cannot overcome because we allow the butt to find its way into God's plan for our lives. So when God tells you yes, you just yes, period. And you get up and you walk. Amen? I want us to believe that for every single one of us here today, this is that kind of time. It's a time for us to think about rising up. God is getting us. Rise up, Church of our Savior. Rise up, members. Rise up, every single one of you, soldiers of the army of the living God. Rise up. You are going to do great things for me. No but, okay? Just rise up and let's go. Amen? Very important, right? And then, okay, good timing. So we want to walk by faith, not walk by our flesh, to walk by faith. So this is the second thing. First one is to begin where? Begin with the end in mind. Second, begin with God in mind. Third one, begin with what is at hand. What is at hand? You know, in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter and John, they were walking through the temple area, right? Probably through the southern gates. And there was a lame man begging for money, asking for money, as it sometimes happens. And they didn't have any money to give, right? Pastor Smart, what to do, right? So Peter said, silver and gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give to you, right? He begins with what he has. I mean, you can talk about, I don't have this, I don't have... No, listen, begin with what is already in your hand. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It turns out that what was in his hand became multiplied tremendously, right? This is the principle of the five loaves and two fish. You understand? You begin with what is in your hand. Now, you might say, oh, this year, there's so many things, but I have so little. Listen, whatever you have, whatever little you have, right, you begin with that. You know, in the book of Elisha, there was this story about how they went to see this widow and a son who was at the end of the rope. They almost died already. They were about to commit suicide, right? So they were making their last meal. Then suddenly this prophet comes along and say, could you bake me a cake? This woman is actually about to die already. With the last bit of flowers that she has, not flower as in kuihua, but flour, you know, we say flour, but Americans say flour, so I'm confused, I don't know what to call it now. But with the last bit of flour that she has, she said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll bake you a cake. This is the last thing that we have. And he gave it. You know, from there, a miracle flourished. Their life was turned around. So many things in life. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, right? When Moses came to God, God asked Moses, what is it that you have in your, not in your future, in your hand, right? And Moses says what? A rod. Okay, that rod, you throw it to the ground and God will use it. Listen, when you're beginning this year, don't look far away. Don't look at the, you know, what I call the pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. Okay, don't talk about things that we don't have. Start with what we do have. Time that you have, resources that you have, skills that you have. Start with what is already in your hand. And you say, God, all those things I hope to have, but right now this is what I have. I'm going to give you this first. Multiply these things. Amen? So, we want to begin. So, what do we have? I mean, every one of us, we have so many things. And but of course, as a community, right now we've got a new building. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, I don't know if you notice, the building is actually taking shape already. Right? It's starting to look like a church. Right? And you know, some of us have actually been inside it. Right? So, I know many of you want to take a look at it. So, we have actually a short video. Would you like to see it? Okay, let's roll it. So you can see what we have in our hands. Barbecue place. Amen. Wow. It's very exciting, okay? And I want to tell you about what we want to do with what God has put in our hands collectively, right? You know, we've spent $26 million on this building, right? I tell you, it is my intention to squeeze every last drop out of this building, right? Because I'm going to make sure we get more than $27 million. You know, any investor is like this, right? You invest $26 million, you don't expect to get back anything less, correct? You want to be more. You want to be that steward that says, God, you gave me 5 talents. Here is 5 more besides. That's the steward you want to be, right? Right? Okay, so we want to squeeze everything out of this. Okay, and let me just kind of begin with some of the exciting stuff, okay? So this building will be ready in about a month's time. Right? We will, in about 1 month. And by the way, we show you the car park first, because many of you are, you know, the flesh is there, okay? What to do, right? Okay, there's car park for 120 plus in the basement, all right? It's very nice. We've gone down there. You may have to improve your parking skills in certain corners, you know, but, you know, we have people down there, new ministry, okay, car park marshal ministry. I'm serious. We're going to need, so if those of you who feel very called to, you know, every time you see people parking badly, you want to correct them. Okay, we need your gifting for car park marshal ministry, right? You also saw, by the way, you saw the chapel or not? we have a chapel upstairs, you know. That chapel, already 5 bookings for wedding already, right? Already. Okay, very fast. But you know, we just came up with a policy, okay, and I hope you like this. For all Church Coos members, use of the chapel for wedding is free, right? Free of charge. So we want to encourage you to get married, right? But let me see, two qualifications. First, you must be church member, means baptized and confirmed, okay? So if you are not, quickly do it, okay? Quickly do it, all right? Secondly, if you're not member, it's $1,000, okay? So already people are booking this, but this is your church. That's why we don't want to charge you for it, all right? We are not charging for it. And we are also cutting some of our PMC costs in other ways because we really want you to get married, right? So you need help, I know. Government subsidized, we also subsidize. Okay, so that's the chapel. And by the way, in our new building, there will actually be a bell. That bell is the bell that came from Prince Charles Crescent Church. So we got the original Church Our Savior bell. So when you get married, we can actually ring the bell, ding dong. Not many churches have bell, by the way. So we're going to have the bell, okay? Okay, I'm going to run you through some of the events of this year, right? About what we're going to do this year and what your role is going to be in all of this thing. Okay, so about a month from now, we're going to actually have this whole new place ready. But of course, we cannot immediately be fully functional because we need to do some renovation, touch up the whole. That's what I call the temporary occupation permit. So between that time, we'll still set up, correct all the things. It will take a little bit of time, okay? And then by Easter, we are still not 100%, probably about 80% functional, right? So Easter this year, we are going to actually have a healing service, right? So Easter is going to be about healing. Last time, it's very hard for us to do healing service. Why? Because all our sick people have to park by the roadside to get into this church, right? Because we have no more access. But now, we have 2 lanes of access that's fully covered from the rain, right? So even if it's raining, we can probably take 4 cars there in 2 separate lanes. You can still drop off people and be completely dry. And then from there, you can turn completely dry into the basement, right? So that is a wonderful thing for us. So this year, Easter, we're not going to have the usual drama and everything. We want to invite the sick, I'll say the dead, but let's see the face, okay? But we want to believe that this is not just our work. This is God's work. Amen? Amen? So we're going to do that, right? And then from the week after Easter, a whole bunch of things are going to begin, right? First of all, now, our current, when you open up, you actually enter into a very large atrium area, very big atrium with a projection on the white wall, with a pantry, with many seats, free Wi-Fi also. It's a very big place. And currently, our experience of going to church is something like this, right? Going to church consists of waking up early in the morning, rushing to church, hoping that you can get a car park. This is the first thing, right? Because otherwise, you have to park all the way to the nursing home and then walk all the way, pray that it don't rain on the way, right? Or you drop your family here, you go there, then the wife come early, husband always come about halfway through the worship because you don't have to park all the way to Stirling, what's the road there? Okay, anyway, Stirling probably, right? So that is the first part of your day. Then you rush in the service, you sing song for about 35 minutes, right? Sing, 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 sing. And then after that, you hear some preacher preach in Hebrew for another 45, 15 minutes, right? Someone say, right? Then after that, if you're a woman, rush to toilet. Okay. Queue up for toilet. Then after that, you can walk your long walk back to your car and go home. This is typically our church experience, isn't it? Now, is it any wonder why non-Christians don't want to come to church? Which part of this experience will appeal to a non-Christian? Actually, they wouldn't want to come, right? Actually, why do people come to church? They come to church because of their friends. You invited them. They come because they get to meet people and fellowship. So, we are going to change one of our service components that after church, in the atrium, there's going to be a whole bunch of activity. It's what we call collectively the project called Atrium Alive. So in the atrium, every week there'll be something different, right? Maybe this week there's somebody who is showing off their kueh lapis that they did. Another week someone is doing, maybe bat zang la or whatever, depending on season, right? And then someone else, we may have a book table there, we may have people doing, it's going to be all kinds of activities going on in the atrium. Now, I know, once we launch a building, all of you will want to know what the new building is like. It's quite a large complex. We've got 2 new lifts. We've got a lot of new places. All the nooks and crannies where your children can get lost. Okay? So I know you all want to see the building, but we obviously can't have 1,000 people all start wandering around the place, right? So we are actually beginning a new ministry, right? We are not exactly sure what to call it, but basically they are church tour guides, right? No, we are serious, right? So after church, imagine in future, now we say, any guests here? By the way, are there any guests with us here today? Any? Upstairs, downstairs? You just wave your hands. Oh, welcome. Welcome to Church of Savior. All right. You came at a time when we are about to reveal our secret plans for you, okay? In the future, when guests come, not normally we ask them, please join us for some refreshments at the back. Currently, our refreshments is something like 2-star refreshment, right? The Milo is nice, but it's not exactly Milo dinosaur either, right? And I also don't know whether we're using Australian Milo powder or Australian formula but made in Malaysia, or is it Malaysian cow made in Malaysia? Okay, so, but you know, we're going to upgrade all of this, right? So, I mean, I don't know, maybe Starbucks level, okay, maybe not, okay? So, but we're going to make it a lot better. But mainly, they're going to get an opportunity to have someone bring them around the church, right? They're going to get people to bring them around the whole building. So, after Easter that week, all of you will get an opportunity. We'll have extra number of people to bring you all to show you the church, right? And as you go around the church, go through all the different parts of the church, we can tell you what the church does. This is our dance room. This is where you're most likely to find our sister Veron, right? Where she's dancing around there, or people. And this is where we have our Sunday school, right? And as you go around, this is where we're having healing rooms. This is where we're having, then you're introducing the ministry of the church to them. And finally, you get upstairs. This is where we have our Filipino ministry, our Chinese youth ministry. And this is where we have weddings, which, by the way, is free for members, right? On your way out, you can give them membership form, right? So, you know, I mean, this is going to be so exciting. And then, oh, by the way, the rooftop, you know, I know there are many suggestions coming in. People are coming, Pastor, can you install a rock wall? I don't know about that, right? So, Pastor, can we have gym machines around? Now we're thinking about that, you know. People, can we have this? Okay, some of you got ideas, give it to us, you know. We can't say yes to everything, but it's going to be very exciting. The second floor, especially, has this feature called the journey. I don't know if you noticed, there was this like wavy thing. It's the journey, it's for you to walk around, right? Place where you can sit, you can do your own quiet time, you can have your meetings and so on and so forth. But downstairs, there'll be a pantry, there'll be tables just like Starbucks, you know, you can sit down, you can study, it'll be cool. We've got giant fans, okay? And we've got all kinds of things going on. It'll be very exciting. Of course, in the atrium itself, it's where we fellowship, we meet with one another, we've got all kinds of things going on. Now and then, we have people featuring. Maybe some ministry could be featuring. Sometimes we'll do things like Queenstown Heritage History kind of thing. Every week, it'll be different. So from week to week, you never know what's going on. Actually, I suspect people come to church just for that Atrium Alive component, right? But it'll be very exciting. And I think it'll be something. Are you guys excited? Right? Now, we need you, because obviously, I'm not going to do kueh lapis. I can tell you. Some of you are really good at these things. You don't have to do it forever, right? If you want to do 1 week, you do 1 week. You do once a while, you can do once a while. Let Eunice know. Pastor Eunice, all right? Where's Pastor Eunice? Somewhere. Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, see Pastor Eunice that's hiding over there. If you want to volunteer something like that, please let her know. Okay, it can be anything. It can be creative things. You want to do origami. You want to do whatever it is. It'll be just something fun for everybody, okay? You want to give ice cream also, especially anointed. Okay, please. We like ice cream around here. Okay, so that's one thing, okay? So, but not only for the atrium, because during the weekday, see, many churches, they spend all this money and they use it only on the weekend, right? During weekday, it's like a haunted house like that. There's nobody there. But you know, this is such a waste of money. That's like buying a whole house with 10 rooms inside and only use one room, right? So we are not going to do this. So during the weekdays, we're going to plan all kinds of activities. We're coming out with our own like cystic calendar, like that, right? Throughout the year, there were, you know, all kinds of maybe media and arts performance. Maybe from time to time, people want to do their dance things. Every month, we want to have a health talk. Maybe talk about let's say diabetes or depression or whatever. So that these are things that we can use to build bridges to the community and to our friends. So along the way, we find ways to make it meaningful for them, right? It can be all kinds of talks, you know, not just those holy talks, right? It's from day basic life skills kind of talks. So somebody may come out and say, you know, how many of you know what's Bitcoin? You know, everyone knows Bitcoin. I got money, everyone knows, I'm Singaporeans, right? So we give a talk, should you invest in Bitcoin? You know, you can have the whole talk on Bitcoin. And at the end, you say, well, I'll tell you, the best investment is Jesus Christ. Something like this, right? Okay, so, Okay, that one, Pao Win one, okay? Okay, so this is what, so throughout the weekdays, we have things. During the weekdays, we also open up some spaces so that the neighborhood school students can come and study in school, right? Your students, your kids also can also come and study. Well, we're going to try and arrange this kind of thing. And by the way, timing is so perfect. You know, in the past, we tried to reach out to the school and work with the school. Very hard. But you know, this year only, they had a change in principal. The principal of ACS Barker is now here. Very committed Christian. Prayer walk the school one, okay? So, and you know, we used to have a BB company in that school. That somehow lost our way and we didn't have it anymore. This year, they want us to take it back. So you know what? I don't know about you. When you look at this, the timing is perfect, isn't it? Do you think it's a coincidence? I don't think so. God has been with us every step of the way. Even when we have all this trouble getting approval for the car park, God was with us. When we started the building project, the GFA allowed for us is 1.2. But because of all the delay, change in government policy, I think we managed to go to 1.4, 1.6, I can't remember. Can anyone remind me? Are we 1.6? Okay, it's very high, okay? But if not for the delay, we wouldn't have all the extra space. You know, God is helping us. Amen? So we got all these things going on. You know, so the atrium alive is just a very exciting thing, right? And plus, the entire atrium is covered from rain. So you're not going to get wet regardless of the weather, right? So very exciting. And by the way, on the roof of this church, but all around us, we'll have high-rise apartments, right? HDB this side. Even the car park is higher than us. This multi-story car park, which is right about somewhere there, right? About there. There's 8-story multi-story car park. When it open, well, I guess it will help us lah. Government plan for the, you know, the Bible says, man makes his plans, right? HDB makes his plans, but the Lord directs their car park locations, right? Right next to us. What can we say, right? When God is on our side, I feel sorry for whoever is against him. All right, so we are trying to see if we can find permission to build a covered linkway to the car park also, right? Then we'll be the only church with hundreds of car park. Okay, so there'll be very exciting times. Okay, so after that time, we also have changed. So from the week after, this is especially relevant to you guys. The week after Easter, this service, which is now at 3:30, we want to move it to 2:30. Okay, I tell you why. Because our youth service starts at 6 o'clock now, right? By the time they finish the service, it's 8 o'clock already. By the time they finish the cell group, it's 9 o'clock already, right? By the time you finish cell group, you go out, tea or all out, which literally translates means the sky black, okay? This is our... But when you go home, your parents been or all out, right? Your face is black. I know, I get so many complaints from our parents, all right? So what will change is that we will move 1 hour up, but the youth will move 1.5 hours forward. In other words, their service will start at 4:30, right? They will finish their service around 7:45. I mean, not their service. They will finish everything by 7:45. They can go home. The sky is still not black yet. Still kind of blue color, right? Is that a good thing? I think if you're parents, you have to thank God for that. Okay, a lot more things, okay? I want you to know because these are things that require your support, okay? We want you to support. Okay, so how many of you know that in this church, there is actually a cross? And by a cross, I don't mean the one on the door. The one just installed on it, right? You know, this is our place. There's hardly any cross on, right? Maybe here there's one that shows up once a month, right? There is actually a cross in this church right at the top. I don't know if you noticed that, right? There is a cross up there. But most people don't know it's there because the light has spoiled for so many years, right? Seriously, we never light up for so many years, right? So now we are about to turn that cross to face Queenstown, and we are gonna fix the light up. On the prayer meeting after Easter, we're gonna have a light up ceremony, right? We're gonna actually video the whole thing that symbolizes that, you know what, guys, we are here, right? Things are about to happen here. Amen? We are getting up on our feet. We're not sitting back. We're not folding our hands wondering what's going to happen. No, we are getting up. You know, God is going to do something through you guys, through this whole place here. So we want to do that. And so, along with Atrium Alive, all these changes, we hope our best to adjust it. So all the external services will be back. Chinese youth service will be back here on Saturday. They'll be using upstairs. By the way, the weddings, normal times will be Saturday morning. Right? Weekdays, if it's not used, you can try. Okay, but normal time will be Saturday morning. The rooftop is an open area, right? We are hoping to put a canopy on top there. People are thinking whether can put barbecue. One time people look, first look only, barbecue pit can put it. Okay, maybe. Maybe, all right? We will look at all these things. But right on top, there's actually a cross on the floor. So all the high-rise around here, when they look down at our church, they will see the cross there, right? So that is really something quite amazing. You might already notice it this week, but we actually have no more signboard. Everything is a digital signboard all around this church, right? So by Easter, you see all our cystic program running for the neighborhood. You see testimonies being running. Whether we are here or not, there's testimony. People can stop there. If they're coming by to the bus, they can stop and hear testimonies of healing, of God's faithfulness. This building is going to be a 24/7 non-stop advertising for the kingdom of God. Amen? That's how we want to make good for that, right? Okay. Then, on Pentecost 2018, that's May the 20th, May the 20th, we are going to commission our lay pastors, right? We have invited, that whole weekend is going to be a dedication and commissioning weekend. At every service, we will actually pray for all the leaders and dedicate all the people. We are dedicating the new building, but you are the church of God. Amen? So we're going to pray for you. Pray that Holy Spirit will come upon you. Maybe that week there'll be a sound of rushing wind. Maybe everyone will speak in tongues, but more important than that, maybe God's vision will capture your heart to do something great for Him, right? To attempt great and faithful things for God. Don't just be timid Christian hiding in the shadows, but come out to be the light of the world. Amen? So that weekend, we have also invited the bishop. Bishop will come at 10:30 service to commission our lay pastors. Now, we are reorganizing all the cells into what we call zones, right? In the zones, you have a zone team pastors, but we have a lot of lay pastors. The lay pastors doesn't mean that laying down, don't do anything, right? Right? We call them cluster pastors because under each of these lay pastors, they are actually looking after several cells or groups of people under them or ministries that are grouped under them, right? So they are lay people. And we need more people to rise up. This is just the first wave only, I'm telling you, right? Just the first wave, about 30 of them, 20-something, 30 of them. But we want more. So there will be a next wave. Now, if you are called upon to do it, don't say yes, but don't say no. Say yes, right? Because we absolutely need everybody. Okay, so the bishop will be here. And of course, that week, we'll ask him to ring bell and everything. By the way, on this wall here, as you go out here, there will be a special feature wall. You remember that time we were getting the people to do all the ceramic thing and all that? You can go there and look at it, right? And you can take picture. We will come up with all kinds of things. There are a lot of places in this church can do a lot of very interesting. We haven't even begin to explore all the possible things that we can do, all right? So that is 2018 Pentecost. From that week onwards, we are going to begin a whole program. So every zone will be running Alpha. Why are we trying to do something Alpha? Because the mission of our church, KPI, I is impact, right? You can't impact people by hiding in your little small shell, right? You want to go out. So at any given time, every zone will have some cells doing Alpha. And eventually, everyone will do Alpha. We are bringing friends to church. We are bringing friends to your cells. We are working on them. We are selling the pen. Amen? This one, in all ministries, we are going to go all out, no holds barred, but we're going to reach out to people, so that was going to be it. So after Pentecost, we are changing KPI. Okay, KPI is our last, I guess, 2 years or so logo. We are changing to Empowered, right? Because, Pentecost, right? The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon us to send us out. So we'll be empowered. Everyone say empowered. Hey, yeah. It's like no power. Everyone say empowered. That's more like it, That sounds good on you, okay? Empowered to go up. Not defeated. Not perfect, but empowered by God. Amen? To remain in His love. Okay, so then in October the 7th, it's a Sunday, right? We're going to have a day of fasting and prayer, right? For the nation, for our church, for Queenstown, for our community, But it's going to be a day of fasting and prayer. We've never really done this, okay? Because fasting, you know, people don't like fasting, okay? People do fasting between lunch and dinner kind of fasting. But, you know, we are going to try and do a day of fasting and prayer. And we are going to actually do it all together at Sports Hub, right? We are going to do it with all the churches in Singapore at Sports Hub. So it will be 50,000 people can fit that place. I hope all of us will go there. Chinese church also. All of us, we're going to show up there. We're going to fast and pray because we are getting serious for the kingdom of God. Again, don't let the devil accuse any one of us of not being perfect. We are not perfect. We know that. But we are covered by the blood of Christ. Amen? We are remaining in His love. Right? So we want God's power to use us. Whatever earthen clay we are. So we'll go there and pray. And along with other churches. So get ready. Okay? Get plan that we can... Sunday afternoon from about, I guess, 2 to 3 o'clock up to about 5 to 6 o'clock, right? We'll all be at the Sports Hub. You know, maybe we all wear same shirt or some kind of thing like that. Huh? Then we can recognize, you know, this is the coolest people up there. Okay, so we will do that. And then come Christmas, we have a big Christmas because now we have, first time we will have the full access of this whole place, right? But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning only, guys. Because 2019 is when the neighborhood is going to fill up. There are 8,000 households in this neighborhood as far as we know right now. 8,000, right? That's 8,000 families I'm talking about. So each house, if you assume that there are two people staying in a house, which is very little already, right? But let's just be very, very conservative. Two people in a house means there will be 16,000 people in this community, right? Just give us 1,000 or 2,000, I'm happy already, right? For a start, right? But if there are five people in the house, you're talking about 40,000. Well, Pastor Xu, 40,000. Sorry, my calculator is made in China, right? So whenever I do my math, because last time, Chen Fa Piao, all in Chinese. So today, I calculate everything in Chinese also. So there are at least going to be 40,000 people in this community, not counting the school, the students, not counting across this road, not counting all the community outreach you are doing, not counting the nursing home. You know what? There are so many fish in this place, right? So right now, I'm in talks with the churches in our community, which is Fishermen of Christ, Church of Good Shepherd, Queenstown Baptist. By the way, when we're in Israel, we'll hold up in this hotel, right? And then we got up breakfast, and lo and behold, a whole group from Queenstown Baptist were right there. So I went to say hello to them. You know what? We want to work with them because we are all the kingdom of God. Amen? True way, true life, true way. True Way Presbyterian, right? True Way Presbyterian. We also True Way, you know, but they got the name True Way. But, you know, we are going to work with them. You know why? Because more is better than few, right? Amen? Two is better than one, right? Three is better than two. So we are talking to them about how we can join our forces. You know what? Recently, my friend over at Church of Good Shepherd, they had a Christmas party in their car park. By the way, this year onwards, they have a building project, so their car park will not be ready. Their whole church will be in a mess when this place fills up. But for us, thank God, we are just complete. We are completely ready, right? So they had a Christmas party in their car park. And what happened was, people came to visit them. Now, their Christmas sort of like carnival is all kinds of things, like, you know, people selling things and all that. It's just a pasar malam kind of concept, right? So some people came and said, I actually didn't know you were a church. I live here for so many years. You know, it's very funny, A lot of people look at the church and they don't know it's a church, right? Same thing for us. You know, when I came, people didn't know that we are a church. They look at us, they thought we are a cinema. They look at that church, they thought it's maybe some kind of like cooperative for fishing people, right? I mean, what do you expect a non-Christian to think if your church is fishermen for Christ? Or a fisherman, it says right there, you're a fisherman, right? They look at us, maybe you are a Catholic church. Okay, we want to invite them right in here. In fact, by the way, our church has no gate now. This is a gateless church. Everyone can walk right in. We want them to walk right through our church. So we are wanting to reach all these people as much as possible. In fact, somebody was asking the question, what happened if we got all these homeless people sleeping in our atrium area at night? Then how? I was thinking about this for a little while, you know. I mean, for us, maybe it's, you can say it's a bit of a sight for sore eyes kind of thing, right? But I think for God, it's like, yes, we get to preach the gospel to them. They're not going to go anywhere because they got nowhere to go, right? And that's a good thing. Okay, who knows, right? But these are really all these things we cannot think about beforehand, but now we can think. So by Christmas 2019, we are hoping we can have celebrate Christmas in Queenstown. We light up Margaret Drive, right? We get the RC and everything. It's going to be like nothing you've seen ever before, right? So, and there's 40,000 people. It's enough for everyone. It'll be so fun. We'll be, when people move in, we'll set up welcoming committees for the people coming. Just go and let them know, hey, welcome to our community. This is our community because we were here first, right? Welcome to our community, our backyard. You know, we want you to know that welcome, and we want to invite you to come down to our church for a tour of our church, right? So you can see where you can potentially have wedding free if you're a member, right? So, you know, you can come and visit. It's so exciting. Would you say so? We are part of the Heritage Trail. Do you know this? Right? We used to be Venus Theatre. It's a heritage. You know, you can't plan to be on the Heritage Trail. You know? You're either on it or you're not on it. And we are on it. So praise God for that. Amen? So many things. Projecting our presence in the community, into the church, working with the school, working with BB, working with, opening up the space for study locations for the neighborhood, even those across the road. We're going to be the best community center in Queenstown ever has, because we are so near to the people. The other one is like way at the corner, you walk very far, right? So this is what we're going to do. Now, I know we got Holy Communion. You know, I got so much more to say, but I hope you get a sense of what is about to happen here, right? But here's the thing. When people come to church, they're going to judge us by you, by whether you smile, whether you are welcoming, whether you are excited or not. So you must be excited, right? You must put on your excited face, right? Because God is about to do something great. And if we are to avail ourselves to Him, then, you know, I mean, in our atrium, we can have people praying for the sick anytime. One corner there. I mean, we can have all sorts of things happening, helping people that we never could imagine before. For years, we couldn't do this. But now, we can do this, right? We've made the investment. We are about to make the investment pay. So now, it's going to take all of us giving our best to make this a fruitful church. Because when Jesus comes, He will want to see a fruitful church. I say, Lord, we have been busy being incredibly fruitful. And you know what? As you do this, the Lord will bless us. When you mind God's business, you know what? God will change your life. Your spiritual life will experience breakthrough. You will come to a place of maturity, right? And all these blessings of God, it will come to us, man. You don't have to worry because God is a good God. Amen? So, I'm going to ask you a couple of things. One, I'm going to ask you to give more. I mean, financially. You know, I never asked you to give financially, right? Even church building project, our church building project is the most understated church building project. Fundraising. Then what fundraising? There's no fundraising. Just, please give, Lord. Oh, say one time only, right? And you'll be giving everything. But now, we want to fund all these things that we are doing, right? We want to do a lot of stuff. And we want to upgrade our Milo and the coffee at the back and all this, you know? So I'm going to ask you all to give. I know you guys are giving all over the place, but today, this is where we are focusing now. I'm going to ask you all to give to this community, the Church of Our Savior, for the work of God in this place and for your future families and for your children and all this. Can you do that? Okay, be generous. Be a committed giver, right? So don't just give like, oh, I feel like giving today. Next week, don't feel like giving. You know, give in a committed way. We want you to serve more. Qualitatively, if not quantitatively, right? So you have gifts. Be smart. You cannot work a lot, then work smart. You got something that you know is very good. Can't do a lot. Do a few times. We want to add all this together, right? Bit by bit, and collectively, it will become an incredible tapestry. Just like that feature wall that we have. You know, everyone do a small piece, but when you put it together, it's this amazing feature. We want to begin with what God has put in our hands, right? As a community, but also begin with what God has put in your hands at the beginning of this year. So, look at this. God has put this in our hands. God is saying, I trust you guys with this building, with these opportunities, with all these unplanned for things, but God has ordained them for us. So I trust you. And you know what? We are not going to fail God. Amen? We are not going to fail God. We are going to say, God, you trust us. We are going to make this fruitful as best as we can. So this last slide, you know, this verse, it says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So you have to plan your way. Right? You have to make the plans. God has given you a purpose, a directive. We do it, we plan it, but God will help us as He has always helped us. Amen? So, you are all agents of God's work. I mean, this is such an exciting, of all the hard work that we put in for the past years, now we are about to see how it will all pay off. And so we want to give the glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have the Holy Communion, and then, but before that, we have announcements. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's just pray. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are so excited about what you're going to do in this community. Lord, as you have upgraded our facilities, now, Lord, we pray you upgrade our spiritual life, Lord. Every one of us. We want to begin with the end in mind because we are a people who are not wandering aimlessly. We are people who are focused. Lord, we want to begin with you in mind. Put you above our personal ambitions, our personal concerns, our needs, our desires. Lord, we know that as we step up by faith and we say, yes, if Lord, you ask me to get up and walk, I will, by the power of God, get up and walk. When you say that, Lord, breakthrough will come in our lives. And Lord, we want to begin by looking at what you have placed in our hands, whether it's resources of finance or time or giftings or skills. Lord, we want to give this to you because, Lord, we want to be the people who power this revival, Lord. We want to power the transformation that will begin in Margaret Drive, Lord. So, Father, use our hands for your kingdom's sake. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen. Let's sing this song. Okay, we want to sing a song. I think they want to sing, let's stand together. Won't you, Lord?